The khutbah today had to do with the good character or good traits. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, said good character, the good character is a fundamental foundation in our deen in order to rectify the condition of individuals and the society. The well-being of the society, the strength of its construction, the loftiness of its position, the honor of its children is all relevant and conditional to the good character. The same way, the spreading of mischief, sins, misbehavior, and bad conduct are the reason behind every corruption and the destruction of every society. You will not find in history a single nation that rose and was prosperous except that it had adhered to the good character. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu wa arbah depicts for us the condition of the Muslims at the time of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Abu Bakr assigned Umar as the judge in Medina. And a judge deals with people who have disputes. They bring their case to him, he hears from both ends, and then he gives the Islamic judgment as an arbitrator between them. However, Umar radiallahu anhu sent a request to Abu Bakr asking him to relieve him from this obligation. So Abu Bakr said, is it because of the difficulty associated with this job? He said, no. But for a whole year, I've been the judge, I haven't received a single case. There's nothing for me to do. This is how they used to be. Everyone was applying justice and good character in themselves, so much so that they had no disputes amongst each other that required a judge to judge between them. Slaves of Allah, the early Muslims opened up countless lands, not through armies, not through destroying the thrones of their kings, not by raising a sword or an arrow. Rather, it was the honest, righteous merchants who would go to different lands, and Indonesia is the biggest practical example. They would go there and they would deal in business. However, they will deal with them according to the Islamic principles. People were shocked because the average trader is a thief. The average businessman, his main goal is to get your money, whether it is lawfully or unlawfully, as long as he's getting richer. So when they see these people avoid unlawful wealth, even though it may have been available for them, they were shocked. Well, what made you do this? When they were informed that this is part of the teaching of Islam, thousands of people embraced the religion because of the behavior and the honesty and the character of these Muslims. There was no need for any battles. So we shall return. We shall return to these noble characters in speech and in action, in suggesting it to the people and in internalizing it in our lives. Particularly now that many Muslims have abandoned these good characters and became overoccupied with the accumulation of the wealth. And along with the good niyyah, along with the good character, there must be good intentions. If someone is only being kind in order to increase his wealth and to take advantage of you, then this is not really good character. Like the owner of a business, he will treat customers, for example, who are going to invest or give him money in a kind way, and the customer who comes to complain is thrown out of the store. The only reason the owner was being kind, gentle, and easygoing is because he intends on making more money from this individual. His niyyah is not for the sake of Allah. His niyyah is to increase his wealth. This is not a good character. The intention to please Allah Azza wa Jal as an act of worship must be there first. It's a condition for the acceptance of this good character. So you find these people investing in the worldly life, appear to be nice and kind, but it's all fake. It's all fake. And they will get no reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. It will be haba'an manthura, like scattered dust. It will be of no benefit, it will have no weight. Now look what the Shaykh said. We have lost today many of these noble characters, our noble traits. Where is love and honesty? Where is truthfulness and brotherhood with the weak amongst the people and the servants? Where is the justice with the workers and the poor? Where is the dutifulness to the parents? Where are the rights of the relatives and the neighbors? Where is the treatment of the people, or treating the people with kindness and gentleness? Where is the truthful in speech? Where is the fulfillment of the trust? Where is the noble relationship based on mutual respect between the husband and the wife? Where is the smile on the face? Where is the goodness in the speech? Where is the spreading of greetings? And where is the mercy to the children and to the young girls? Where is all of that? Where and where and where? And the questions go on, and we could hardly find an answer for one of them, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except those who Allah shows mercy to. These things are almost extinct. You know, you read in the science book, the dinosaurs are extinct. These qualities among some Muslims are also extinct. They don't exist except in a minority. And this is horrible. The majority should be upon this minor character, and some evil people should be avoided, not the other way around. And there will be more on this in a little bit, inshallah. The Shaykh said, the good character is an act of worship. In fact, the reward associated with that may exceed the reward of many acts of worship that the people consider to be more rewarding. Giving the salam is an act of worship. And visiting the sick is an act of worship. And visiting a brother for the sake of Allah is an act of worship. Wiping over the head of the orphan is an act of worship. Keeping the kinship ties is an act of worship. Aiding the distressed is an act of worship. Fulfilling the needs of people is an act of worship. Helping those in need is an act of worship. Smiling in your brother's face is a sadaqah. And a good word is a sadaqah. And shaking hands with your brother is a sadaqah. So how wonderful and excellent it is of a trait, and how much pleasure the person will attain, something that the most of the people have become heedless about, so they were deprived of the benefit of these qualities and the rewards associated with them. We ask Allah to protect us. The importance of the good character and the bad character upon the person is vital. Your good character affects your good deeds directly. So much so that it can destroy your good deeds and burn them up. And you will carry the sins of others as well. Listen to this narration from the Prophet ﷺ. It's a very important narration. He said to a Sahaba, "Do you know who is bankrupt?" The one who bankrupt is the one who ran out of money. Someone who ran out of money. They said the bankrupt amongst us is the one who doesn't have any money or any good. He doesn't have any clothes, nothing. Mata', that which helps you survive. This is the perception of one who's broke, someone who's bankrupt. He said, no. The bankrupt in my ummah, now listen to this, is a man, is a person who will come on the day of judgment with salah, with zakah, with siyam, with a lot of good deeds. However, he would come while had verbally abused this person, X person, and he slandered that person, he consumed the wealth of this person, and he spilled the blood of that person, and he beat up that person. So then his good deeds will be taken away and will be given to the people whom he wronged and oppressed. Until he is out of good deeds and he still hasn't paid them back, then Allah will take away from their evil deeds, they will be placed on him, and he will be thrown in Jahannam. Ouch! It doesn't end that he runs out of good deeds, he will also carry their evil deeds because of wronging someone. And if you're involved in da'wah, you will get a lot of that. You give a lecture and you upload it on one of these channels that have, you know, that you get YouTube, for example. And Muslims leave comments to myself and others, this dog, this dirty pig, this donkey, this ignorant, this, things that you think a Muslim would never say, because they disagree with you. You're speaking about something that they don't agree with, and it doesn't end there. They call you filthy names that yani, you wouldn't want to use. Ignorant is digestible. Someone may be ignorant, but big dog. Now they don't realize. You know what I reply? I say, I praise Allah for giving me the opportunity, inshallah, to get your good deeds. And wallahi, I will ask for it on the day of judgment. I will ask for this. And usually there's no more reply, because there's nothing you can say. Why are you verbally abusing me? You don't agree with my position? Alhamdulillah. Ya akhi, turn off the thing. Don't watch my videos. I and any other one involved in da'wah. But you don't go to the extreme of defaming a Muslim, giving him the attributes of an animal, because you disagree with him on fiqh position or even aqidah. But this is what happens. They don't realize that we will benefit. And the same goes for you. If you are being treated in this fashion by people, you will win on the day of judgment. If your right is not retrieved today, you will get it from their good deeds on the day of judgment. This is why when someone had back bitten Hassan al-Basri radiallahu anhu, so he sent him a plate of fruits, and he said, the only thing I can do, you know, thankfulness, I want to show you, thank you for giving me your good deeds, so this is my gift to you. That's their rationale, you know, and it makes sense. We ask Allah to make us among those. Allah musta'an. So the Shaykh said, these are the bankrupt people then on the day of judgment. The one who may be engaging in all kinds of worship, but on the scale, these deeds will be wasted because of the evil character and wronging and oppressing people. Another narration further fortifies this understanding. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Fulana, ex-lady, she is known for having abundance of salah, abundance of fasting, abundance of sadaqah. Except she has one issue, she verbally abuses her neighbors with her tongue. She speaks bad about her neighbors. He said, إِنَّهَا فِي النَّارِ, she will be in the hellfire. Siyam, zakah, you know, ibadah, sadaqah. But she's always speaking ill about her neighbors. She's harming her neighbors only with her tongue, only one body part, one organ. The Prophet ﷺ said, she is in the hellfire. He didn't say, Satakun, she will be in the hellfire. She's already in the hellfire. Meaning this is definitely going to happen. She is definitely destroyed because of that evil character. So the Shaykh said, then, you know, let us realize. Do we realize what's going on here? Do we know how many of us these actual narrations apply to us? Do we realize how many of these apply to us? We could be that person, you know, doing all this good, and on the other hand doing all this evil, and our good deeds are being wasted. And this is something that is seen and recognized in this society. The Shaykh said, O Muslims, among the main reason why someone's good deeds or someone's character will go bad, why he will have an evil character and bad treatment and traits, is love of the dunya. Loving this worldly life is the root of all evil. Because of it, the traders cheat because they want to acquire more wealth. And because of it, people betray the trust. And because of love of the dunya, people act treacherously. And rights are forsaken, and people forget about the obligations, and they engage in haram. All this is because of the love of the dunya. They lie against the slaves of Allah, they cheat, and they bribe. All things happen in order to acquire the dunya. So the main reason why people lie, cheat, bribe, and fall into all of these major sins in Islam is because in one way or another they're trying to accumulate more of the dunya. The Shaykh said, verily, the good character has a single balance, a single mizan, single way to measure them, that doesn't have a second or a third. And it doesn't change depending on the people. It doesn't change depending on the location, and it doesn't change depending on time. It's consistent and permanent. The means of measuring one's good character. And that is, so your good character is applicable with all people in all situations. Whether it is with the rich or the poor, those who are powerful or those who are weak, with those ahead of you or those below you, with at the time of distress and at the time of pain, with the wife, with the children, with the friend, everything, all the time, you have a standard, consistent manner of treating people. It doesn't change according to the situations, meaning it is not situational. So for example, if you only treat the rich people with kindness and sweetness because you're trying to acquire some of their wealth, and then when you treat people that are below, you treat them like garbage, then you really don't have a good character. And it doesn't work this way. He mentioned some of the incidents that happened to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, which were a classical example of consistency and good character. He mentioned one incident where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was behind Usama. And Usama was then originally assigned by the Prophet ﷺ as the leader of an army delegation. And then the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Abu Bakr took the Khilafah, and he wanted to continue to send out this delegation because he did not want to change something the Messenger of Allah ﷺ initiated. Even though Umar was suggesting that we fight against the Murtaddeen, the apostates among the Muslims. And this was going elsewhere. He said, no, we will do both, even if I go out into the battle myself. So he was right. Usama was on the camel or the horse, and Abu Bakr was walking on his feet, radiallahu anhu. And Usama said, how can this happen? O Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah, either you will ride with me or I will go down. He told him, neither will you go down nor will I ride. What is wrong if I got my feet dusted in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is wrong if I got involved in the act of worship as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do? So then this shows you that their consistency did not change. And he radiallahu anhu, before the Khilafah and after the Khilafah, he always used to look out and look after the poor and the needy and help them out in their needs. And even after he became a Khalifa, he continued. That did not change him a bit. Consistency and good character. It doesn't change with the people, with the time, and with the location. But however, the good character does not stop even with the most evil of people. And the most evil of people are those who you avoid because of their evil. And listen to this hadith. Aisha narrates that, radiallahu anha, that a man sought permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come in. When he seen him, he said, what a terrible individual. What a terrible individual that is, because he knew of him of being an evil man. However, when the man came in and he sat near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started speaking to him in a nice way. He was smiling at him and he was being gentle with him. When the man left, Aisha said, O Messenger of Allah, when the man stood at the door, you said these things, that this is a bad man, this is a terrible man, what a horrible man that is. However, when he came, you changed the tone of voice and you started speaking to him kindly. So she was thinking this being double-faced. He said, no, have you ever seen of me, you know, bad language? Have you ever seen me act in a way that is not becoming of a Muslim? Meaning, regardless of the people I treat, he has consistency, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his good character. He said then, verily the most evil people in the sight of Allah on the Day of Judgment are those who the people avoid because of their evil. You know, some people that you just don't want to deal with because, you know, as soon as you deal with them, so much evil will come, you can't even deal with it. So you try to make him happy, just so he can get out of your way. So even with evil people, there's good character. Now of course, the Prophet ﷺ knew of this man what he knew, because of that he said that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that man deserved that. Otherwise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never say that. طيب, Allah says in the Quran in affirming that, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيَّةُ. They are never equal, the good and the bad. The good and the evil. اتفع بالتي أحسن. Put forth that which is best. So much so that the one with whom you have enmity will become like a close friend. When someone treats you in an evil way, then you respond with goodness, he will become your friend. And try this. Try this. Somebody, you know, send you an evil email or a bad word or something like that, and you reply and you be kind to them, they turn, you know, 180 degrees. They feel guilty, like, well, I was being evil and they responded with good. This is actually one of the ways you can gain someone who is in opposition with you. So then the Shaykh said that this is the mizan, this is the balance, this is the measuring tool of character, good character. It is consistent and permanent, it does not change with the time, the people and the location. The Prophet ﷺ had transitioned the human beings and had actually moved ahead with them huge, huge steps in good character and perfecting them. And you all know the hadith, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was only sent in order to perfect the good traits in character. Yani the deen is based on that. And good character is with Allah. When you worship Allah alone and you don't call on a dead person, this is adab, this is good character with Allah. When you call on a dead person and you leave Allah, this is bad character with Allah. So the good character encompasses your relationship with Allah and the relationship with the creation. All of it is good character. And the deen is fundamentally based on that. If we lose it, we lose the deen. Listen to this. Read his biography, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. See how he treated the people. You will never find anyone with a better record than the record of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the way he treated people. Look at him. Look at him with children and with maids, servants, with the poor, with the rich, while buying and selling, in the marketplace, in the street, with the wife, with the children. You will never find anyone with purer character and better behavior than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the most excellent of people, the most generous of people, the most courageous of people. He was always smiling, easygoing, easy to approach. He wasn't foul mouthed and he wasn't difficult. He wasn't someone who would scream, nor would someone who would say foul language. He wouldn't reprimand you often. He would forgive people. He would help the person and he would carry his own merchandise which he brought. And he would fix his own shoes and he would patch his own thawb. And he will eat with the servants and he will sit with the poor. And he will go and fulfill the need of the orphan and the widow. May my mother and father be ransomed for him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tirmidhi narrates from Abdullah ibn Salam, before he became Muslim, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, people started saying, the Messenger of Allah has come, the Messenger of Allah has come, the Messenger of Allah has come. He said, I wanted to go see him. So when he went to see him, it's not like he stood out among the people. When he finally identified that this is the Messenger of Allah, he looked in his face and he said, this is not the face of a liar. This is not the face of a liar. And among the first things that the Prophet ﷺ said to the people then, he said, O people, spread the greetings of peace. Spread the salamu alaykum. Feed the people. Give them food. Provide food. Pray while the people are asleep. You shall enter the paradise of your Lord in peace. This is the Prophet ﷺ, the leader, the one enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, the one who has ascended to the heavens, the one whom revelation will descend upon during the night and the day. He had all the positions. He was a leader, a husband, a father, a person in charge of those below him. And yet, Anas ibn Malik narrated, he said, I was walking with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was wearing a thick garment around him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a Bedouin came to him, and he grabbed him by his collar and pulled him from the back. So much so that Anas said, I could see the mark, that the strength of pulling him left a mark on his neck, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Muhammad, not Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Rasulullah, O Muhammad, give me from the money which Allah gave you. Now what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? What would one of us do before what he did? Excuse me? Do I know you? And you know, if you had some people with you and you're too special, you wouldn't even punch him. You would tell your people to punch him. Now take this guy away from here. I'm the leader. I'm the one in charge. We would at least get upset or push him back. He turned around and he smiled. He smiled at him and said, give him what he wants. Now, you can't do this unless you are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we were left alone without this teaching, you will hardly find a human being who can actually do this at this time. Unless when we want to do this, we think of the Messenger of Allah and how we can imitate him, then and only then you may be given success to be of this noble character. Otherwise, the average human being wants revenge. This is human nature. We want revenge. This is no revenge right there. Another incident, you all know as well, when the Prophet ﷺ entered Mecca, you know, they lived in Mecca, they were forced to leave Mecca because of the persecution of the Quraysh. They went to Medina. Then after the Muslims became strong and powerful and it was time to reopen Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ went there as a leader victorious. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. The victory of Allah had come already. Now when he went there sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep in mind, he had to leave his own hometown because of his people. They actually had surrounded the Muslims and prevented them from even eating. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba used to eat on the leaves of trees. They suffered at the hands of these disbelievers. And now was the time for what? Revenge. And he was coming back riding his animal alayhi salatu wasalam. And usually he would come, the Shaykh said, you know, with your chest open. You would come back saying, you have a problem now? Before I had to run away, now I'm in charge. Now I have power, I have men behind me. You will come with your chest wide. However, he came with his head bowing down. So much so the Sahaba said, it was almost his head was hitting the neck of the animal he was riding. Out of humility. Out of humility to Allah and humility to the creation of Allah. His humbleness sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he was there and he was addressing the Quraysh's now, he said to them, what do you think I will do to you now? What do you expect of me? Meaning, what do you know of me? Remember, what was he called before? As-Sadiq al-Amin. They trusted him, they knew his character. And after all these wars and all these problems, he asked them again, knowing that he would never change, what do you expect of me? They said, أَخٌ كَرِيمٌ وَإِبْنُ أَخٍ كَرِيمٌ. You're a noble brother, the son of a noble brother. Meaning they still know of him, this nobleness sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his good character. He said, leave, go, you are all free. No revenge. No revenge, even though this would be the most suitable time to take revenge from these people that had made him suffer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then look at this, watch his biography, and you will realize that this is the way we should exemplify the sunnah and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With all the pressure he had to worry about the whole ummah, about the revelation being revealed. He would be distressed. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. He would be afraid that he will forget the Quran. So before Jibreel will finish the recitation, he will begin the recitation. And Allah would make him comfortable. Don't hasten with your tongue. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. We shall gather it and we shall help you recite it. He would be stressed about all kinds of things, yet Anas said, I never saw anyone who was smiling more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With all the pressures, how many wives did he have? I mean, at some point 12. I mean, with one wife, sometimes you try to look for a smile at the house and you don't find it. If your wife is one of these ladies that gives you a hard time, how about if you had 12 of them? All of them are jealous from one another. And you are the leader. Everyone wants you. I mean, it would be difficult to smile. However, he would be smiling all the time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to joke with his companions. It wasn't always seriousness. He used to be kind and joke with his companions. He would play with his children, as he did with Ibn Umair, Abu Umair, the brother of Anas, who had a little bird called An-Nughayr. He used to play with that bird. It was a pet bird which died. So whenever the Prophet ﷺ would see him, he would play with him, said, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala An-Nughayr? Oh Abu Umair, what happened to your bird? What happened to your Nughayr? What happened to your bird? He would call it a name. One would say, this is a walad. Huh? One of us will see a young man in the masjid, imshins, children, move away from here. When was the last time you grabbed a young man, you know, even he's 5, 6, and sat down and spoke to him, heard his views, asked him about himself? This is the character of the Prophet ﷺ, being kind to children. It's not like you get older and so you disregard those who are young. He would give time for a young boy to ask him, but he memorized the name of the bird which he had, and he gave him a kunya. Can a young boy be called Abu Umair? Can he be the father of Umair? He himself is not married. But this is the sunnah, that each one can have a kunya. We can call you Abu Abdullah even if you don't have Abdullah. Inshallah you will get Abdullah when you get married. Anyways, this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that his a slave woman would actually grab him by his hand and take him around Medina in order to fulfill her need, and he would not refrain from doing so. He would not stop her, say, I'm a busy man. He would go with her sallallahu alaihi wasallam until her need was fulfilled. May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. If someone shook hands with him, he would not be the first to let go until the man let go first. So if he shakes your hand, he keeps his hand in your hand until you give up first. Subhanallah al-Azim. Then the Shaykh said, today some people, you know, they feel that they're so special that when they want to shake your hand, they give you the last four fingers. Huh? He doesn't give you his whole hand because he's a mudir. You're not a mudir. Now even though before he was a mudir, he was a regular man shaking hands. Once he became a mudir, now you know, come on, I'm too special. I can't be shaking hands with every employee. So if he ever shakes his hand, he will give you a finger, two fingers or four fingers. Arrogance. Arrogance. They think they're better than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is the evil character spread among the Muslims from every background and nationality. You will always find some individuals with this sickness, and some suffer from this more than others. May Allah rectify our condition and guide us to the straight path. So the Shaykh said, oh Muslims, now what share do we have of these characters? Each one should ask himself, where am I? From everything we heard, how much do I apply? To what extent am I actually exercising good character and noble traits? It's not something that we speak about, it must be something that we live. Allah says in the Quran, verily you have in the Messenger of Allah the best example to the one who hopes to meet Allah the last day and remembers Allah abundantly. Now let us just focus on the importance of good character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily the believer will attain with his good character the degree of the one who fasts all day and prays all night. Yani some individual will fast every day and pray every night, and another person may not be able to do that, but with his good character he'll be able to get the reward of the first simply by being nice. Subhanallah al-Azim. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, there's nothing that will be heavier on the scales on the Day of Judgment except good character. If you want your hasanat to be increased and your deeds to be more, then the thing which will make your scales heavier is a good character. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the main reason why people will enter Jannah is the taqwa of Allah and the good character. Again, between Allah Azza wa Jal and the creation. He further said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not be able to encompass the people with your money. You may not have enough money to make everyone happy, but you'll be able to do so with smiling in their face and with good character. And some people think that with money they can buy, you know, they can buy someone else's love. And the biggest evidence is that you can't. If someone gave you 10 million riyals and he slapped you on the face, the average one will say, keep your money. No matter how much you need it, you've been insulted, say keep your money. And the one who's really, really bad, he will take the money, but he will make dua against him day and night. He cannot love him. He cannot find in his heart love, even though he gave him so much money, because of an insult. You cannot buy people's love. You can give them a lot of things. If they don't appreciate your good character, it's all going to be to waste. And this is from the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ and this particular narration. So then he said, and this is a very important reminder at the end, the whole world is observing us, isn't it? We are on TV, on the radio, and the newspapers, and anywhere you go, Muslims. It's all about Islam and Muslims. This is excellent advertising. Free advertisement. We don't have to pay for anything. It's coming for free. Now, how can we utilize it? By acting in a way that is befitting. Now, is going out in the streets demonstrating and carrying signs and vandalizing, breaking cars, breaking in stores, burning places down. Is this good character? Is this every time something, you know, the Prophet ﷺ is insulted, they want to burn the Quran, we go destroy the people and spread mischief on earth? No. This is exactly what they want. What they want is to make us look bad. So they do these things in order to get us excited. They know we're emotional people. You find someone who doesn't follow the Sunnah in anything, suddenly now he loves the Messenger of Allah. And when he, oh, now I have to go burn down cars. If you really love the Messenger of Allah, where were you concerning his Sunnah? And if you love him, then guess what? He was persecuted. And they put the internals of the camel on his head while making sujood at Kaaba. And the Sahaba were persecuted as well. Did they go around the Kaaba carrying, you know, banners? We need freedom. Get out of here. Islamic Sharia? No. They were patient. And they left. And they applied the deen until Allah became pleased with them and victory came from Allah. This is the only way we will be able to get victory. It is not by demonstrating and not by acting foolishly. This is exactly what the kuffar want. We cannot give in. So how do we then, if everyone is looking at us, the way we can show the true Islam is by acting according to the teachings of Islam and exercising excellent character. Being patient and saying things which are pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If they see from us this noble character, this noble behavior, the good intention, they shall enter into the deen of Allah in huge numbers. And if they see the opposite, we will be the reason why they will turn away from Islam. Not only we're not giving da'wah, we are actually pushing them away from Islam. And this is the biggest crime. Not only one doesn't give da'wah, but only one, also someone pushes the people from Islam. This is unacceptable. So then each one of us should exercise this good character in himself, in his family, in your children, our children should behave. We should teach our children good behavior. And for us to teach them, we should behave as well. So when they come to the masjid, when they meet the elders, when they deal with the people, they have respect, they have, you know, honor, they know how to give the people their due right. Not bad children. So this is yani a very wonderful khutbah and a very good reminder for all of us. And then he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to guide each and every one of us to the best character and to keep away and protect us from every evil character. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. If you wish to hear this particular khutbah translation again and share it with your family members overseas or elsewhere, go to www.onewaytoparadise.net. And there's a tab called Khutbah Translation. You can download the Khutbah Translation from the bottom of the page. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.